Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to I Thinks Not.
I Thinks Not. Welcome to I Thinks Not. Don't ask too many questions. You're here, you're listening, and I thinks you're gonna enjoy yourself.
Welcome to I Think Not. That is the name of our podcast. Also, we are here doing the rundown. We took a week off because Joey and I were on tour, but we are back bringing you our updates of all the true crime stories that are tickling our brains and catching our attention. How are you, my love?
I'm a little under the weather, but that's okay because I sound like Kathleen Turner. Hello, Channing.
For those of you who don't know, my name is Ellen Marsh, and that's Joey Taranto. I just assume since you're here, you know that. But maybe you happened upon us by accident, or someone was like, listen to this podcast. So, hi, we're glad you're here.
Or maybe I'm a witch, and I conjured you here. Welcome.
That could definitely be the story. We have lots to cover today, lots to talk about, lots to rage about. Yours is a little bit more lighthearted, so why don't we start there?
Okay, let's get into it. Right now, Cardi B is being sued by Imani Ellis, who accuses the rapper of assaulting, hitting, and spitting on her, as well as slicing Imani's face with one of her long fingernails. You can say whatever you want about Cardi B, okay? I'm a Cardi B fan.
I love Cardi B. On stage and off.
Whether you love her or hate her, the thing about Cardi B is she is fucking funny.
This hot press it. What the fuck?
She is an entertainer. She doesn't mince words.
What was the reason?
I had a reason.
What was the reason? What was the reason?
I just explained the reason.
What was the reason?
And she has turned this court drama into a stage.
Are you disabled? Yes or no?
At that moment, when you're pregnant, I'm very disabled. You want me to tell you things I can't do?
Fine. It's brilliant.
I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. The amount of TikTok sounds and memes we are going to get from this, that's going to be the gift that keeps on giving.
I honestly think it's reigniting our love for Cardi B because it harkens back to when Cardi B first came out. You know, she was on that reality show. Also, she was on TikTok. She was on the internet in general, just like cracking us up.
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God. What is that?
And she is back at it. So Cardi B took the stand for, I want to say, 2 or 3 days. And she testified that she was visiting her OBGYN as she was entering the 4th month of her pregnancy. As she was leaving, she says that Imani Ellis, who worked as a security guard in that building, not only followed her, but whipped out her phone and began recording. Now, this was in 2018. Cardi had a hit record and she didn't want people to know she was pregnant. And her personal security guard wasn't with her because she said, I felt weird about a male employee being with me at what she called the vagina doctor.
So Cardi B, she's just so fucking funny. Everything she says to me is funny. This is so unserious. Keep going.
Basically, the fact that someone who was clearly supposed to be working security at this building where her doctor's office was at is calling her by her name, trying to record her in a very personal moment, was upsetting. And Cardi B was like, yeah, I called her a bitch and asked her what the fuck she was doing recording me. But she claims that Imani was the aggressor. Imani was the one who was following her. She was just trying to get away from her. Cardi's like, I never hit her. I didn't plan on hitting her because I was pregnant and I was worried for my baby. Now, I don't know where Imani found this lawyer, but I have learned 2 things about this man. One, I believe that he got his law degree behind a 7-Eleven somewhere in Piscataway. And 2, this man has no friends who are people of color whatsoever.
Your hair was short yesterday and today it's long and blonde. And Cardi B, the intention of what she was saying is, are you fucking stupid? What actually came out of her mouth was,
they're wigs.
Try drugs. Try a new hobby. Do not try Cardi B.
Which one is your real hair? Their wigs. And she just fucking cackled. But then the lawyer was asking Cardi, do you feel Imani is bigger than you? And she said, yes. And he's like, how do you know that? She's like, I have eyes. Now, I don't think that this was Cardi B trying to fat shame this woman. She didn't use the word fat at all. She's saying, this woman is larger than me in stature. And I was worried that she could beat me the fuck up. And when pressed, she said, she is security big. Security heavy, I believe is the word she used.
Security heavy. Like, she just looks a little, like she could protect the building.
Protect the building.
How big is she? She's protect the building big. That's how big she is.
I just... I have tears in my eyes because they don't show us Imani's face. But I just know she was sitting behind her like this. Mad. Mad.
The guy pressed and was like, what did you call her? She's like, I'm paraphrasing, but she basically said, I called her a fucking bitch. Did you call her fat? She goes, no, I called her a fucking bitch. But did you call her a fat bitch? No. She's just telling the truth. They are making a meal out of a nothing sandwich.
Well, what's happening here is in that moment, it's okay, I knew what you meant.
I don't even know what I meant.
The lawyer is trying to make Cardi look like a bully. That's what he's trying to do.
Cardi B is very honest about her past, where she came from, what she has been through. She is one of the most honest performers and rappers. She was a stripper and she is honest about, she does not care. But one thing for damn sure is being Cardi B in public without security, that's a whole thing. And I don't think she wanted to make waves. She even said, I was in a doctor's office. She was trying to keep a low profile. I do not know who advised Imani to carry through with this lawsuit, but you need to not be friends with that person anymore because this is all such a big mess.
The lawyer also says, did you use the N-word? She says, yes. And when asked, do you consider yourself African-American? She said, I consider myself Afro-Caribbean. And I was like, what does that mean? I didn't know. But basically, I think he was hoping that he could use the N-word in a way that was like against her. Basically trying to say, you're not black and you use the N-word. It was very weird. I mean, she is what she is. And I don't know. And it's also not for me to police as a white man.
I don't even understand what that has to do with anything. Cardi B could have called her any name under the sun. Cardi B could have called her fat or stupid or used the N-word. That's not against the law.
Wow, that's actually interesting. Sorry, this deserves attention. Samantha in the chat said, basically, he's trying to imply that she's the wrong kind of black to use that word.
She's not black enough.
Something like that. It's grasping at straws.
Take several seats. It doesn't actually matter. Anybody can actually use that word, the social implications of using it, but that's not against the law. You're just a horrible garbage person if you do. But why does that have any relevance in an assault charge? They were just trying to prove that she got mad enough?
She's a bully, that she's insensitive, all of those things. But I'm also like, who are you to police that word? Listen, I will police it among other white people, but I'm not going to assume anybody's ethnicity. Crystal says it's not part of the conversation. And that's the whole thing, is because they know that they are grasping at straws. So Cardi B is clear that she never laid hands on this woman. It was a verbal altercation that Imani not only instigated, but escalated. The lawyer, when she said, when they talked about altercation, he goes, are we having an altercation right now? She goes, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Maybe a debate. And the whole, I'm trying to do her accent because it's so Bronx.
It's so Bronx. It's so perfect. And everything she says is funny to me. Can I ask a question? Do you know exactly what Imani attests happened? What is her timeline of events? She came up, wanted an autograph, because I've only watched bits and pieces on TikTok. So to me, it seemed like she was trying to be private. She was going to the OB. You know, we talked about this during the Gypsy episode. It's like, really? They're going to a private meeting or whatever. And she was saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that Imani was looking for an autograph or a picture.
I can't remember exactly where she was, but essentially she was walking down the hallway and Imani was like, Cardi B, Cardi B. Cardi B says, I'm making it clear. I had a hoodie on, no makeup. They had shut down the doctor's office. She was the only person they were seeing so that she wouldn't have to see anyone because it was so private. So the security guard is chasing her down. And finally, Cardi B stops, turns around and sees her recording her. And she was like, bitch, what the fuck are you doing? I clearly am not trying to talk to you and you're recording me. So Imani says that is when Cardi hit her, that she started a fight with her. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because the receptionist from that doctor's office named Tierra Malcolm took the stand and she said, I saw Imani corner Cardi B and I eventually intervened. But when I got between the two women, it was Imani who was reaching for Cardi, trying to hit her. Mm-hmm. And it's Tierra who ended up with a cut on her forehead. And that story is backed up by Dr. David Fine, who is the OBGYN, because he saw it happen. He also saw Imani hit Tierra's shoulder, and both of them said, we never saw Cardi B hit her. And the doctor has made it clear the accusation that Cardi B hit Imani has him flabbergasted. I love that word, and I can't say it like flabbergasted. It's got to be flabbergasted. Imani also claims that Cardi B used her influence to get her fired. Did I also mention that she's suing Cardi for $24 million? $24 million.
How does that math.
She said she had to have plastic surgery because of the scars or some shit like that. I can't say it any better than Cardi said, literally on the stand. She said, she's just trying to get some money. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm really glad that Cardi B didn't settle. Taking someone who's a security guard and saying, throw her $500,000 to make this go away and shut up. I'm really glad she's standing up for herself. I want to make it clear, I do not believe that woman at all. I do think it is a disgusting money grab. Honestly, that woman should have lost her job, because I don't think that famous people need to be treated differently in such a broad sense than an average person. However, they are at a different kind of risk than normal people, especially because she didn't have security. I guess I didn't know the part about them shutting the office down, because when I heard about it, I was like, oh, that's really nice of her to not want to bring a big tough dude into a woman's space. I didn't realize it was shut down. So why didn't Cardi bring her security?
Because she said, my security guard was a man and I didn't feel comfortable with him knowing that I was going up to my OBGYN. She's made it very clear, even the people closest to me, I don't fully trust. Do you know how many times a security guard or a manager or whatever will not only leak a story, but profit off of leaking that story? So she's like,
Yeah, that makes sense.
I truly believe that Imani's intent here was to film her. This is Beverly Hills. She was going to take that video and sell it. She was going to sell it to TMZ or something. And she's like, oh, here we go. But then it escalated.
Right.
And then she's like, oh, here's maybe a bigger payday.
Is Imani going to take the stand?
She already has taken the stand.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I didn't pay much attention to her because I probably should have, since this is a true crime rundown. But I didn't bother to hear her out because she's just so outnumbered. She's not going to see a dime. She doesn't have a leg to stand on.
I honestly can't wait for Cardi's diss track about this, because she is going to read her for filth, and I hope she makes $24 million off that song and that song alone.
Honey, the press alone she's getting off of this, come on.
Yeah. When do you think there'll be a decision?
I would say by the end of next week.
Okay. I can't wait. Poor Cardi B. She is the fucking realist. I feel, now this is totally my projection. Let's say in an alternate universe where Cardi B maybe slapped her hand away. That could technically be assault. I could see Cardi B being like, yeah, I fucking hit her. I fucking slapped the hand out of her. I fucking slapped the phone out of her hand because she's a fucking bitch. But I didn't scratch her. She didn't need plastic surgery. She needed to get a motherfucking hand out of my face.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Is Cardi B Rosie Perez?
That did go a little Rosie Perez. You're right. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work on my Cardi B. Okay? Because, no, that was... Here's the thing, okay? She came into my motherfucking... Nope, it's still Rosie Perez.
Let's go with the foods that start with the letter Q, please.
I can't do it.
No, it's okay. Rosie Perez. Sorry. I do think Cardi would have been like, yeah, I slapped her hand away, or like I was trying to protect myself, but she didn't.
That's why I absolutely believe it. You were in my motherfucking face and I hit your motherfucking hand.
It's teetering between Rosie Perez and John Leguizamo and Tu Wong Fu. It's somewhere in there. I think I believe her because she was like, I was pregnant. I couldn't defend myself and I was trying to protect my baby. Anyway, Cardi B, we're rooting for you, my love.
Crystal says different font, Ellen. I was just going for the Bronx. Someone said, Cardi B's voice is both high and low at the same time. It's wild. I fucking love her. All right, here we go. I have an update about something that we haven't talked about. Who here in the chat is attempting to follow the Donna Adelson case? I have watched it all week and I am still confused. Everyone is saying me. Great. Okay. I just want to break down this crazy case because I can't remember a case so entangled, entwined, confusing, fucking weird. So if I get something wrong, please let me know. It has taken me a really long time to streamline this shit. Okay.
Yeah. Also, I don't know much about this because we've been on tour. I hadn't heard about it. So give me all the details.
Here we go. The Donna Adelson case. I need a whiteboard and some cocaine, to be honest. Following this case is like trying to watch a Netflix documentary that a new film student is doing for their sophomore year project. We have murder for hire, exes. We have like five people already in jail. So let me just start on the basics. The state actually rested its case on Friday. They had 6 days worth of witnesses and testimony, and the defense is going to pick up on Tuesday. Now, this is for the murder of Dan Markell. This happened over 10 years ago, you all.
Wow.
July 18th, 2014, Dan Markell was shot in his garage in Tallahassee, Florida. Dan, at the time, was a very well-respected law professor at Florida State. The year before, he had just divorced his wife, Wendy Adelson. That couple had two sons. They shared custody. It was contentious, it was really tempestuous, and everything got really hairy when Wendy wanted to move the kids from Tallahassee to Miami. Donna Adelson has three kids, Rob the oldest, Charlie, who's in prison, put a pin in that, and Wendy. I think it was just three. Now, the shooting of Dan Markell was carried out by a hitman, Siegfried Garcia and Luis Rivera. They are already in prison. They were allegedly hired for a payout of $100,000. They were arrested in 2016. But this whole family sting operation, yeah, that has taken a little while to unravel. Charlie Adelson, Donna's son, was arrested in 2022. The hitmen say they were hired by Charlie. Now, Charlie was found guilty in 2023 of conspiracy to commit murder and some other related charges. The prosecutors now say Donna was a co-conspirator. So already in jail are the two hitmen, Charlie, the other conspirator with Charlie, his ex-girlfriend Karen, and now Donna. Donna was not charged until after Charlie's conviction in 2023. Get this, she was arrested at the Miami airport because she had a one-way ticket to Vietnam. Why was she going to Vietnam? Because we do not have an extradition deal with Vietnam. And they know that she was going there one way because she had been Googling what country doesn't have an extradition law with the United States. And like they brought up all this shit. She shut down her Amazon, canceled a bunch of stuff. Anyway, she was on her way to Vietnam.
She shut down the Amazon?
She shut down the Amazon. That's how you know it's over. Cancel the Amazon. I'm not paying $14.99, not on my watch. Absolutely not.
I don't want to see a monkey. I don't want to see a leopard. I don't want to see a snake. The Amazon is canceled. Go on.
So this is what the prosecutors argue. They argue that along with Charlie, Donna played a very pivotal role in not only planning, but financing this murder. They're saying Donna was the kingpin. So let's talk about what's come out in trial. Her son and her daughter testified for the prosecution. Wendy, her daughter, also testified in the trial of Charlie, her brother. Now, she was granted immunity, but be very clear, she was granted immunity only for the things she has testified about. He does, because it's really very, very clear to most involved that Wendy played some part as well.
Wow.
I feel like they're going to find a loophole to eventually press charges against Wendy. In her testimony, she denied any involvement in the murder for hire plot. A couple of testimonies that I found really interesting. I think Thursday or Friday, we heard from two inmates that were locked up with Donna, Patricia Byrd and Drina Bernhardt. They both said that they had spent time with Donna in jail and both said individually that Donna had confessed to being involved in the murder of Dan Markell.
Wow.
However, this testimony was most interesting to me.
Most interesting.
And that was the one of Drina.
At some point, did the defendant try to recruit you to become a witness for her in this case?
Yes.
How did she first approach you about that?
She asked me if I would be willing to do it, and I said yes.
What is it that she wanted you to testify about?
She wanted me to testify about numerous different things about Kay, mostly about Miss McBanwa.
And Miss McBanwa, you knew her by the nickname Kay?
Yes.
Okay. At some point, did she prepare a script for you of exactly what she wanted you to testify to?
She did.
She wanted me to lie. She wanted me to lie so hard that Donna wrote a script of what Drina was supposed to say on the stand. And she was like, I was supposed to study it, learn it, answer this. Well, they showed the handwritten script by Donna. And then they were like, bring up that handwriting expert.
So beginning with the first word in the uppercase W of the word Y, we see the overall structure of the uppercase W has a very small dip on the slider where it appears that there's a little bit of an upstroke and a very small dip and then a downstroke that kind of makes the bottom of the W. And that particular shape of being sort of flat on one side, but pointed at an angle on the other side. They, you can see the crossbar of the T is the combination of the ER. The lowercase e, as it ends, creates the beginning stroke of the lowercase r, connecting the e and the r.
What conclusion did you reach in reference to the question, did Donna Adelson write the script contained in State's Exhibit 62?
I identified known writing purportedly written by Donna Adelson as to be the writer of the question handwriting.
The prosecution, they got her dead to rights. They have wiretapped phone conversation that showed that she was trying to flee to Vietnam. They have the handwritten notes. They have her planner that had detailed information about Dan Markell's car, his license plate number, everything that would point to premeditation. Of course, Donna denies all this. But the main motive for this was the custody. And they've brought in a lot of stuff about religion because Dan was Jewish and wanted the kids to like respect their Jewish heritage. There is so many twists and I'm like a fucking pretzel trying to watch this.
Right.
The motive is very clear. The evidence is pretty much airtight. Rob, the older son, who is now estranged from his family, said, you know, when Dan was a part of the family, there really weren't any issues. But the minute that him and Wendy separated, Donna called him an emotional terrorist, an STD. They had this really loose alibi for Wendy. She needed to get her TV fixed. There is so much evidence. They had so many witnesses. Donna is facing life in prison. Here is the gag that I actually didn't know until the other day. Charlie's girlfriend at the time, Katie, was a very important piece of this puzzle because basically, I am paraphrasing, Charlie was like, hey, I'm really toying with the idea of killing my ex-brother-in-law. If I were to go through with it, do you know anyone who could use a couple bucks to do a casual murder? And Katie was like, yeah, beep, bop, boop, bop, bop. Katie called her ex the father of her children and was like, hey, I got an idea to make a cool $100,000.
He basically suggested that. Do I know anybody that can harm someone?
Were those the words he used, harm?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you know somebody that could harm someone?
Yes, ma'am. At that time, I mean, Sigrada was the first person that kind of popped in my head.
She hired her ex to kill her boyfriend's ex brother-in-law. Now here's where it gets crazy. This woman, Katie, was offered immunity in order to testify against her ex-husband, which she turned down because she said, I could never live with myself for being responsible for putting my children's father behind bars. I guess he might have been facing the death penalty. And I was like, so you took both of your kids' parents away instead? I feel like there's more to the story. Now, I know you don't know much about this case. Does anyone in the chat have any ideas about that? She was like, no, I don't want to testify against him. So how about both of us go to prison for life? I need someone who's smarter than me to tell me why that would be a thing.
This is like 12 seasons of Game of Thrones with all the people you got to keep up with.
Oh, it is so confusing. That's why I wanted to talk about it, because I have been watching it and I still don't feel like I know all the information.
Yeah.
Crystal says, when Stand By Your Man goes wrong, uh-uh, he was going down no matter what. He pled guilty. He's still serving life in prison. She turned down immunity twice.
Wow. I wonder if she testified against that man, if she knows people will come after her.
That's what I was thinking.
And her family.
No way. She's like, no, I have to do the right thing. I have to take my punishment. I couldn't live that they don't have a dad. Well, congrats. Now they don't have a dad or a mom.
Well, it just sounds to me like we're dealing with scary people.
Yeah.
Who are connected to other scary people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Someone said, oh, like he's part of organized crime in Florida. Maybe.
Maybe.
Olive said, could she be in fear for her life? Yeah, I don't really get that part of the story. Anyway, another little interesting tidbit about this, for those of you who are keeping track, I don't know what Barnum & Bailey Law Office Esquire Donna hired her lawyer. Her name is Jackie Fulford. This woman is getting up here at her little lectern, and she's got no plan. She's like, you know what? I'm going to wing this. All right, follow me. Watch me cook.
People who know Donna will tell you that she is not the person that the state is portraying her to be. She's kind, caring, loving. She cares more about people than she does about herself.
Lillian and I took Spanish together in school. And so I would just like to say to you and to everyone here, gracias para vivir en la casa, en las escuelas, en el azul marcada, tienes con vivir en las fotos. And gracias.
Oh, she is the most unprepared. It's like she's just going with the wind. It'd be like if I got up there and just decided to riff about some shit. The handwriting expert came up and then the defense goes, well, we didn't even argue that Donna wrote this, so I don't even know what you're doing here.
Never contested that our client wrote that document, no questions.
It was what? The weirdest thing. It's like a fucking joke.
I'll never forget when that lawyer accused a witness of going after his 15 minutes of fame. And he was like, I mean, I could say the same about you by representing Amber Heard. And I was like,
yeah. She's not even the ringmaster of this circus. She's like the guy who has the donkey show. She's like, come on, donkeys. This is where everyone goes to the bathroom. Who's bringing donkeys to the circus, Jackie?
Bless her heart.
It is not looking good. I don't ever think I have ever seen such a solid case for the prosecution. It's embarrassing, but she has her right to her own defense, and I don't know if she's going to take the stand. God, I hope she does.
I'm always fascinated by people who take the stand in a trial like this where there's murder involved.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, sit down and shut up. But one thing about a narcissist, they're going to narcissist.
This woman is like a control freak, a narcissist, a hand in everything. Her daughter, Wendy, I wanted to slap the entitlement off of those fucking fucked up highlights. She was so smug, and she's a lawyer. Whatever. That bitch is going to go down too. All right. Last thing I just wanted to update about, just because we were on tour and I was keeping really close track of it, I made a very short video about the Emmanuel Pato case. Everybody has to know about this little boy that went missing. They are now presuming dead of Rebecca and Jake Hotto. I just wanted to give you a couple of updates on it. On August 22nd, Rebecca and Jake were arrested. And then on the 24th, I think a lot of us saw Jake out on the side of a highway in an orange jumpsuit with handcuffs on. We assumed, myself included, that he was possibly showing where he put Emmanuel's body. They came up with nothing. So they were finally charged on the 26th. Now, remember, she made that fucked up, "My son is missing. He said hola." They made that video on August 14th. And I don't know about anybody else. People in the chat, sound off. I was like, the minute that woman was crying with no tears and had a bruise that looked 6 days old, I was like, something is fishy and I am nowhere near Pike Market. So it was just so fucking suspicious, all of you. Yeah, I hated that video too, Avery. It was awful.
Everyone who watched that video was like, something ain't adding up here.
So they both had their first court appearance. They're both charged with murder and filing a fake police report. Up until now, they say that the last sighting of Emmanuel was August 5th. Because they were calling for anyone to see when was the last time anyone saw this baby. That was how many days before she made that stupid fucked up video. In jail, Jake allegedly told an inmate who was actually law enforcement undercover, he murdered baby Emmanuel and put the body of the baby in a trash can. Now, he told another story.
Right.
That he accidentally rolled onto the baby. That's how he died. Emmanuel still hasn't been found. Let me make that very clear. However, Rebecca is still holding on to that bullshit story of the man saying hola. She is still like, he's gonna be found. I'm praying. I was like, did you guys want to get on the same page as to your lies?
Also, she was already talking about him in the past tense.
They both were. Yeah. Now, this is where my big problem comes. This is what my last video really focused on. This is not the first time. Oh, God, I can feel.
Yeah, I know.
I can feel it in my chest. Okay.
Yeah.
This is not the first time that Jake has abused children, essentially. In 2018, he brought his 10-week-old daughter to the hospital, saying she was sitting on a counter in the bathroom and slipped and fell, whatever. The doctors quickly knew that child abuse was involved. Thank fucking God. Because that baby had skull fractures, multiple hemorrhaging in her brain, seizures, and healing bones as well, which indicated that shit happened before whatever this incident was. Oh, Jake Harrow, in 2023, was handed down a sentence by Judge Dwight Moore. In my video, I came for the DA and the prosecutor. Allegedly, the DA was not okay with this sentence.
What we wanted out of the case was prison. We believed it was a prison case and that Jake Harrow should have gone to prison. In this case, a judge here in Riverside County, happened to have been a visiting judge from San Bernardino County, gave Mr. Harrow a suspended sentence, which means, if I can translate for you what that is, it means that instead of sending him to prison, he chose to give him probation and suspend prison time sort of over his head. My prosecutor in the courtroom objected to that, said on the record, we object, we think it's a prison case, you should send him to prison. And the judge decided, as is the judge's right to do in that case, he decided that Mr. Harrow deserved an extra break and gave him probation and basically 180 days of work release, which ends up being like community service. I will say that it was an outrageous error in judgment by this judge.
Jake, for beating this baby, this infant, within an inch of her life. Now, this little girl now is alive. She has 3% brain capacity. She is blind. She cannot and will never walk or talk again. She has cerebral palsy. He made certain that this baby never lived a normal life. And the judge gave him 180 days.
No!
Of which he served one. And on June 8th, 2023, in Superior Court, Judge Dwight W. Moore suspended his sentence and granted him probation. And he said, quote, "I am giving you a chance. Don't mess it up. Good luck." Emmanuel would still be alive. Well, he wouldn't be alive. Let's be real. But he wouldn't be dead.
Right.
I don't know what a chance means, because usually someone is given a second chance when they make a mistake. And beating a 10-week-old infant is an extreme act of violence to a defenseless baby who is now permanently disabled, who will never lead a normal life. And you give that man probation? No punishment? No accountability? How in any world is that justice? That is a systemic fucking failure. He didn't run a red light. I have chills. A judge is entrusted to protect people, and a baby is the most vulnerable. And you choose to give mercy to a fucking proven monster instead of safeguarding a child's life? That decision directly contributed to Emmanuel's death. Again, he wouldn't be here. I understand that. The system acted with no seriousness, no urgency to punish a man. I just feel like it can't be overstated that it is so dangerous when a court prioritizes leniency, any kind of leniency, over the safety of fucking children. You don't get another chance when you hurt a fucking baby. And decisions like that sends a very clear message to abusers that their actions may never have real consequences. And that is fucked up. And it just goes to show it's never about protecting the fucking kids. It is a judge's duty. I don't know what their oath is, but I would think they take an oath to protect the innocent. And the innocent was that fucking baby. So that duty was not met, Judge Dwight. So now, two babies, their lives were clearly expendable. This failure is devastating. It is catastrophic. It is unacceptable. I hope that man is ripped from the fucking bench, because children deserve protection. Who is going to protect them other than somebody who is entrusted with upholding the law? This monster was set free. I cannot wrap my head around it.
And the message that judge sent, which I'm sure was received, is that I don't care about that kid and I don't care about the mother of that child. Because imagine if he's capable of doing that to a child, what he's capable of doing to the mother of that child. And to be like, oh, okay, so he has permanently changed the course of this child's life. And now I have to figure out how I move through the world, because this man is probably a danger to me. And I'm speaking on the behalf of the mother. You have one job. Your job is to uphold the law and to give justice to those who deserve it. I cannot see a world where this man deserved the second chance that you bestowed upon him. So he did take a second chance, and he used it to murder a child. That judge should be removed. I think he should go to jail.
Charges. I think he is conspirator. I don't know. Melissa makes a really good point. She said, here in Texas, we only care about in utero babies.
Got it.
Yeah. How about protecting the actual living babies that are here? I mean no disrespect by this, so don't anyone come for me. In any of the pictures that they've shown to the press, that baby did not look well. I don't know what happened. He was never smiling. He looked like he was in pain. He looked like his head wasn't, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But if you were to tell me that baby has been abused since he was 10 weeks old, I would believe it.
Any person, I don't care what gender or non-gender they are, anyone who could look at a defenseless baby or child and physically harm them when all a kid is looking for from their parent is safety,
yep,
and love, and in turn, you give them hatred and violence, that person does not deserve a place in society. Fuck it, I don't care. I hope someone does the same thing that he's done to children to him, period.
Absolutely. Jake Hotto is a monster, but that judge puts on a cloak, whatever you call it, a robe. You're just a monster in a robe. When someone is a monster, Jake Hotto's not well. He's sick. He's wrong. He deserves to be in a cage. Come for me, please.
Yep.
I actually think the judge is more culpable, because Jake is only going to do what he knows, and he knows he's a disgusting monster. So he's just functioning on the way his brain is.
Yeah.
And it was your job, your fucking job, to punish him. You hurt a child a second chance? It's unbelievable.
Let me tell you something. This story is so enraging It's just so sad. What makes it even more devastating is this was avoidable.
Yeah.
It was avoidable. And this taps into a very specific rage for me. And I'm like, put me alone in a room with that man. Turn off the cameras. Put me alone in that room with that man for 10 minutes, mm-hmm. please. Because I would love to treat him the same way he has treated a child. Fight me. Fight me as a grown man.
Yeah.
Try to fight me the way you did a fucking 10-month-year-old. I will eat you alive. My blood is boiling because it was so avoidable. That judge is a piece of fucking shit. Deep breaths.
I don't know. I'm sure he won't face charges. I hope he's taken off the bench. I would just like to point out my maturity because you said 10-month-year-old and I didn't even flinch.
Did I say 10-month-year-old?
You did. And I just...
That's how angry I am!
I would just like some flowers for not laughing and not pointing it out in the moment. Can I get an amen from the congregation?
Honey.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing will dismantle your rant quicker than saying the wrong thing.
A 10-month-year-old, damn it, you knew what I meant. No good is going to come of this. We all know baby Emmanuel isn't here anymore. It's devastating. I think he probably died slowly, and I don't mean in that instance. I mean through his entire life. That is what I believe in my heart. I'm truly not coming for the way the baby looks. That baby looked abused.
Yeah.
Sorry. I hope this has sufficiently spiked everybody's anxiety. Everybody in the chat, how are you all doing?
What a wish. What a wish. I hope you're all anxious now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a cup of tea and an edible.
Aw. I also would like to just report that Hunter, Veronica Rodriguez's boyfriend, sent us this letter that Veronica wrote. She wrote, "Dear group chat." Veronica said she wrote this handwritten letter. She actually said that everybody is being really nice. They call her Bunny or Barbie. And she says that the employees here have been more than sweet to me. Some even know my family or they heard of this case. And everybody here has been apologizing to me or told me that I shouldn't be here. People are very sympathetic. I've gotten extra snacks and juices. I'm going to ask Hunter if I can post this in its entirety. And she's actually moving into Gen Pop on Tuesday. So then I'm going to post the address if anyone wants to write her letters. So, oh God, that just also is fucking grinding my gears every day. What a rundown.
What a rundown. And I have no more words.
Thank you all for joining us this week. We will get back on our regular schedule now that Joey and I are back from tour. But until next time, I love you, Joey.
I love you too, Yellow Marsh, and I love all of you.
I love you, Dumb Bitches. Bye.
Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.